Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. Before our show today, we want to share with you a unique opportunity to join Terry live for two evenings of connection and conversation around themes from his newest book, which is going to be coming out this fall. On March 25th and 26th, Terry will be joined by two friends from our Healing Care Ministries family for a video live stream where they will explore themes of identity, community, and the wonder that God has placed inside each human soul. You'll be invited to join the conversation through our live chat. There is a small cost of $19 for this two-night event, but for those who are tuning in from Sling Stones, we'd like to offer you a discount. If a gathering like this with Terry sounds interesting to you, we invite you to check it out at healingcare.org/events and sign up for this event, which is titled Discovering the Gift of You. Be sure to use the coupon code GIFT10 when you register to claim your discount. Once again, you can find out more at healingcare.org/events, looking for the event Discovering the Gift of You, and be sure to use coupon code GIFT10. We would love to be able to join together with you that evening. Now here's our host, Terry Wardle.
I've read a number of books by Anne Lamott. Actually, I like her writing. She even wrote a book on writing called Bird by Bird, which I've read at least two or three times, which is very helpful if you ever want to develop some skills in the idea of writing. But she is also a person who's been on a pilgrimage of faith, and she's written numerous books about that pilgrimage. Now, I probably should tell you that her language can be salty, and that not all conservative Christians are going to agree with everything she has to say, but I find many of her insights powerful. I remember when she talked about sorrow, and she said that sorrow is like a lazy Susan. And, you know, a lazy Susan, it spins from one food to the next. And she said that's the way sorrow hits us, that one day it can be a darkness, the other day it can be anger. And I thought that was a very insightful comment about the issue of sorrow. Now, I mention her because in one of her books, she says that in her life, there are two great prayers, and both prayers are only one word, help and thanks. That is pretty insightful also. And how many times has it been that that's been the nature of our own prayers when things get difficult, and then when the Lord comes and he begins to minister to us? I was thinking of Jesus saying, don't ramble in your prayers like the Pharisees do, but be precise. And what can be more precise than that? Help and thanks. I want to ask you to read Psalm 121 today. I want to talk about it for a few moments, because I think it offers us something in the midst of our own journey and in the midst of our own struggles. It's one of the famous Psalms, and I think it's relevant to what I've been sharing that Annie Lamott said about the words help and the word thanks. The psalmist begins by saying that he lifts his eyes toward the mountains, and he asks a question, where is my help going to come from? Let's be clear, he wasn't saying that by lifting my eyes to the mountains, I expect the mountains to offer me help. I think the mountains may, in fact, be the problem in themselves, that we often face these mountains in front of us, mountains of difficulty, mountains of challenge, mountains that seem to threaten to undo us. And I have this picture of him standing, looking at that, and he asks the question, who's going to help me here? I have been in that spot countless times, and I know you have as well. Sometimes I've said it when the issue was a molehill, and other times when it at least appeared to be a mountain. And what I do is I begin to look around and say, I don't think I can handle this on my own. I wonder who is around that can help me. I probably survey friends and family and begin to wonder if there's any of those that I can turn to that would lend me a hand, which is a good thing. It is. It's a really good thing. But what the psalmist does is he then switches his attention possibly from who can help him to the Lord. And he says these words, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." That's an important insight that ultimately, no matter where we turn for some help, behind all of that help is the Lord promising to be with us and to care for us. It reminds me of Paul in Philippians 4 when he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He's not saying he can do all things. He couldn't, you know, fly or hold his breath underwater for an hour. But he meant that whatever he is facing, he can face them with Jesus, who gives him his strength. And that's part of what's coming here. And I think it's important for us to recognize, as good as it is to say, "I wonder who can help me out in this mess," it's also good to stand there a minute and go, "Oh, but let me remember. Ultimately, the help comes from the Lord, even if it arrives in the form of another person. The source of that help has been the Lord." And the fact that he says, "the maker of heaven and earth," I love that. It's like he's going to go big with his help. No matter what the problem is, he goes, "Look, why do I turn to the Lord? Because he made everything." Can you imagine him there considering this problem, and all of a sudden he just looks to the whole earth around him and then considers the stars in the sky and he says, "I think I want God on my side, someone that big, someone that great, so I'm going to look to him." It's a good reminder, isn't it? You may be facing something today. I'm facing a few things. Ultimately, it is the Lord who is our help. That's why the psalmist says, I think it's in 46, that we're not going to be afraid even if the earth falls away. He then goes into the psalmist, it could have been a she, goes into some other insights and says, when you put your help in God, he's not going to let your foot slip. He's got a hold of you. It's going to turn out all right. And then he does this thing. He said, it's because he doesn't sleep. He watches over you. He watches over you. You know, when we have our littlest grandchildren around, one of the things I love to do is to watch Cheryl watching them. It's not only the watching of delight, but the watching of care. Giving them room to explore, but at the same time, not letting them explore in such a way that it's going to bring them any degree of harm. And the Bible says here that he doesn't slumber or sleep. He watches over you. Let's consider that for just a moment. Maybe we could even close our eyes and imagine that the Father in heaven, the God who created everything, the God that is the source of all power and all authority, he's the one that watches over you. It's his face that shines on you. It's his care that gets you through to the other side. I love the fact that the psalmist goes on to say that the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And it makes the most sense when you see it, the verse that follows. It says, "The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." And I think for me, it means this. When we're in difficulty, it doesn't mean the difficulty is necessarily going to go away. The sun's there. The moon is there. But God's care is such that he shades us from its full impact. That's a great insight. As I was reading this, I asked myself a question. I wonder if the psalmist was remembering some of the stories of deliverance that come through Scripture. You know, the great stories, the story of the Exodus, where God opens the Red Sea, where they cross the Jordan, where he intervenes against the enemies. I wonder if that might have been on his mind, that he remembers what God has done in the past, which gives him hope and courage for what God may be about here and now. It could also be that he's remembering times when the children of Israel did not trust in the Lord and how that all turned out. Recently in my Bible reading, I was reading yet again a story we won't know so well, that the spies went into the land. They come back with, you know, one bunch of grapes that's so big they have to carry it on a pole between two men. And they talked about the fact that this land that they had traveled for so long to get to was in fact a land full of milk and honey. But then they began to talk about the enemies that were in there, and that they were like giants and they were grasshoppers in their sight, and that they shouldn't in any way go in there. Now, Joshua and Caleb disagreed and said, surely the Lord would be with us. But they stoked fear among the Israelites, and they began to complain and want to go back and try to blame Moses for all kinds of things. And in the end, they all lost out. They didn't get to enter the land. They kind of forgot who was on their side. And I wondered, as the psalmist begins to lift up this prayer, I see these mountains in front of me, either literal or metaphorical of problems he was facing. Where will my help come from? And then he goes, oh yes, God. God is my help. What a great word. A word that I think we all need in the midst of times just like this, that let me tell you some things that are true of you. God loves you. He's the maker of heaven and earth, and he watches over you. He's never asleep on the job. And when things get tough, he can shield them from you, at least shield them from harming you. In verse 7, the psalmist says that the Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. I love that. He's not just watching over this moment. He's not just watching over this particular issue, this particular difficulty. He's saying that God watches over the whole story of your life in order that the narrative of your life can ultimately bend toward wholeness. I know in any given minute I can become consumed with the difficulty in front of me, the mountain in front of me. But if I can step back a little bit and I can look at the arc of my story, God's got his hands all over it. The good days, the bad days, the sunshine, the dark valleys, he's there. He watches over your life. The psalmist says that he watches over your coming and your going, and he's doing it right now, in this present moment. And then he basically says he will do it in every present moment that follows. You can link up so many stories and so many scriptures to this amazing truth that's coming to us through the psalmist. Again, the blessing of number 6, the fact that God's face shines on us, that he's turned toward us, that he wants to keep us. And all the stories of deliverance that we find in Scripture, not the least of which is the deliverance of Jesus Christ, who comes into our lives not only to provide forgiveness, but to defeat evil, to be our help, and to watch over our lives. I hope that's a good word for you today, that he's watching over you. Maybe some days you feel it, maybe some days you don't, but it doesn't matter. He's on the job, the maker of heaven and earth for you. So I think it's kind of good for you to also, when you're standing there, be able to simply say, I need help in this, and I welcome whatever help God brings from whomever comes, but ultimately I know it is God who is my help. Never sleeping on the job, keeping our lives both now and forever. I hope you receive this as a word today that you can take deep. I'll pray for you for that end. You pray for me also. God bless.